Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
On today's episode, Liz and I welcome Dr. Shalom Levitt to the show. Shalom shares some practical tips for slowing down and paying more attention in all aspects of our lives. She then shares some great insights into a term she coined called sexual mindfulness, an intentional way of slowing down and paying attention to your body, thoughts, feelings, and experience. She also gives us a sneak peek into her up-and-coming sexual mindfulness project. Dr. Levitt is a professor in the School of Family Life at Brigham Young University. She researches how mindfulness is linked to sexual functioning and satisfaction. Her research explores couples' experience during sex and what factors contribute to connection. She runs interventions that teach couples how to slow down and be more aware and create greater connection during sex. She regularly blogs for Psychology Today, as well as shalomlevitt.com, and shares with readers the latest research on meaningful sex, slowing down to experience greater connection, and being more curious in romantic and sexual relationships. Dr. Levitt is married to David Levitt, and they are the parents of 9 children. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. The doctors are in the house. I'm Dr. Liz Hale, the psychologist, along with the beloved professor, Dr. Dave Schramm. We have combined our efforts to bring you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. I'm really excited, Dave, today about having Dr. Shalom Levitt with us. I mean, this is really a hot topic, and it's probably one that's overlooked quite a bit, don't you
Absolutely.
Think?
Yeah, so excited for our discussion today.
Sexual intimacy in marriage. She is really the best. She's a family scholar at Brigham Young University, perhaps known best for her work and programs on sexual mindfulness. And I really want to dive into that and know more about that. Shalom, thank you for being here with us on Stronger Marriage Connection. Welcome.
So happy to be here.
I hope our listeners are ready, Dave and Shalom. This topic of sexual mindfulness is, I think, is pretty amazing. I've heard you discuss this on other podcasts, and I've read some of your great articles on this very topic, Shalom. Can we start by having you share a bit about what sexual mindfulness is, what it is maybe and what it isn't? Because sexual mindfulness is much more than paying attention during sex, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. That's a great place to start, Liz. Thanks. Sexual mindfulness is a lot like mindfulness that people are becoming more and more familiar with. But I like to use this analogy. If I play the piano, and I'm not super good, but I like to play it for myself. It's kind of therapeutic. But when I'm asked to play for others, I get really anxious and I make a lot more mistakes than I would otherwise. And my head even gets just a little muddled, right? Because it's stressful. And mindfulness, in a general sense, is a trait, and we all have some level of it. And some people are really quite natural in being able to be mindful in their day-to-day life. We are present and aware. That's really kind of the definition of mindfulness, is being aware and curious or non-judgmental. However, those same people, when we get into a sexual setting, may feel greater stress, just like when I have to play the piano in front of others. We may become hypercritical of ourselves. We may kind of ruminate about something that has happened in our relationship or something that may be happening in the future. We become very self-conscious of our bodies, of being naked. We may even really enjoy sex, but even pleasure can create a little anxiety for us. So being mindful during sex often takes a little bit of training or some practice. And once someone has explained it to you, maybe it will make sense and it's something that you can start to engage in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great little intro. So I think this topic, it can be so challenging, can it, for couples at first. So what's your take on why sex is so challenging for couples to even talk about, really, Shalom? And how do we get into these negative patterns? It feels like right after marriage, right in the first little bit, it's kind of this little taboo topic that we don't really discuss. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've just hit it on the head, right? It's this topic we don't discuss. And so when we do start engaging in a sexual relationship, we haven't had it modeled for us, right? We haven't had anybody talking with us about this in a comfortable, open way. And so we feel this heightened anxiety. We feel like it's something that we should be ashamed of or feel some sort of, you know, constraint around, instead of being open and authentic and vulnerable in how we talk about this, most especially with our partner. And yet we find that because this is new, some of these socialized messages or roles creep up and we break into this pattern of maybe gender roles that aren't so healthy or feelings that this is a little shameful, right? We talk about the good girl syndrome. There's also, you know, a bad boy syndrome and all sorts of other socialized ideas that aren't helpful in a healthy relationship, in a healthy sexual relationship, right? In fact, we often take these patterns and fall into a routine that right from the get-go sets a really negative tone or experience in the sexual relationship. And so couples then, instead of openly talking about it, just create this little distance, and pretty soon sex becomes the problem instead of these attitudes or behaviors that we fell into. And what's interesting is sexual mindfulness would encourage couples to slow down this process, to create a safe space where it's okay to be vulnerable, to connect emotionally first and reveal who you are emotionally, and then start engaging in the physical elements of a sexual relationship.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
I'm so curious. We certainly have heard about, yes, Dave, you're right. Certainly have heard about good girl syndrome, right? The good girls don't, right? Good girls don't do that thing or no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden it's go, 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 right? When a Christian couple, for instance, gets married who maybe has saved sexual intimacy for that moment. So do you mind just describing good girl syndrome and bad boy syndrome, which yeah. one, the one I've never heard?
Yeah, so I think you've described it pretty well. Girls are socialized that they almost shouldn't like sex, right? So if you're a good girl, you're not going to enjoy sex. You're certainly not going to be the one initiating it. And what's interesting is we know in research that if couples are imbalanced in who's initiating sex, right? One person has the heaviest responsibility of always initiating, usually the man. Then we start to notice some other problems creep into the relationship. So women who feel like somehow it's not feminine or not appropriate for them to enjoy sex, can fall into some of these negative patterns, right? Where they don't initiate, they're not speaking up for their needs to be met. They're not saying what they like, what they don't like. And so that can create a whole host of problems in a marriage. Now, the bad boy syndrome is kind of this idea that men are supposed to be expert at sex and understand and be ever ready and always be the initiators and kind of be the edgy ones, the creative ones in sex, and have this, you know, ever present, always ready appetite for sex. When we know from research that that is not true of most men either, that men appreciate their spouse initiating and aren't always ever ready. That's an awful lot of pressure to put on men that they have to be ever ready. In fact, Metz and McCarthy, some researchers, did some really nice studies looking at this and found that 15% of the time, couples were going to have an experience in sex where something went wrong, right? Something, your bodies didn't work the way they expected. You get interrupted by children, whatever it is. And we really need to have a plan for what it is we do in that 15% of our experiences that we can transition and still feel good about ourselves. Men especially, when their bodies don't function the way they expected them to, can let that start to be the beginning of a downward spiral. And so we really want to work together as a team instead of getting into these polarized attitudes of good girl syndrome or bad boy syndrome.
So 15%, just very matter of fact, like, oh, this is kind of what happens in life, right?
This is normal.
This is normal. Yeah, we'll pick up where we left off another time.
Yeah, that's right.
My goodness, if there wasn't enough stress, right, in life, and then there's a little bit of stress with sexuality as well. When we bring outside stress in, Shalom, it's so easy to had that spillover, right? The workday, let's say, is a little easy to spill over into marriage and our partnership. What is your advice on how we keep the negativity from coming into marriage? I have a feeling this is part of that mindfulness.
Yeah, I really like this. Really like this question. When you mentioned this, I thought of a mindfulness activity. It's probably one of my favorites. It's called a mindful embrace. And so when the two of you come together for the first time after work or school or whatever it is, you just take about 5 minutes and you support your own weight. You're standing next to each other. You kind of engage in this loose embrace. You're not leaning on each other, but you're proximate enough that you're sensing one another, right? And you do this for about 5 minutes with no talking, just kind of focusing on your own breath, your own body, your own sensations, what thoughts come to mind. And then after the 5 minutes, you can do something that we call heads together, where you just put your foreheads next to one another and quietly debrief what came up for you, right? What emotions arose as you came back together after a day apart. And what is so interesting about this is that it helps a number of feelings surface that we may just rush right past if we don't take this 5 minutes to kind of quietly, in this stillness, debrief with each other what has been going on for us during the day, but also how we feel when we come back together with each other.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that is powerful, Shalom. It feels like sounds so simple, but it's like, hey, I've never even thought about that. And that's part of the process is slowing down to think and to be present instead of, hey, honey, how are you doing? Rush. Those routines that we sometimes do. And that's where it feels like that some of the stress spills over. And I know you're a huge advocate for just slowing down in general, our lives and being mindful, being aware. And maybe more curious about what's happening in the moment so couples can experience that greater connection now during sex. So just to walk us through a few things that you suggest, a few tips, for example, a few examples of sexual mindfulness.
Yeah, sexual mindfulness is really something that you have to prepare for. Like I described earlier, right? Sex often is this experience of a little heightened anxiety, right? Even if you feel great with each other, you're in a really healthy, happy, highly communicating marriage, sex is going to increase anxiety just a little as you're sharing your body with another person. And so that's to be expected. So if outside of sex, we can start practicing this skill of slowing our mind down, not being so goal oriented, right? So if then when we get in sex, we're not just kind of driving towards, you know, are we both going to orgasm? Are we both going to feel the heightened arousal that we need to feel, right? We don't necessarily get stuck on the goals of sex, but instead slow it down so that you can notice, what does it feel like to be in this moment with my partner? What does his or her touch feel like? What are the emotions that we're generating? What's the love that we're creating, or the connection or the lack of it that we're creating right here and now? And just stay in that moment, not worrying about what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, but how can we just feel and be with each other right here?
Man, that, Shalom, that is exactly opposite of what happens in Hollywood, right? The programs, it's just fast and heavy and hot, and then it's done. But what you're suggesting, yeah, like couples literally have not heard about, seen, experienced, they have no idea until they actually hear in what you just said. And I think that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, in fact, I love what you're saying, because the very opposite of what needs to occur has been modeled for us in Hollywood, in just how we talk about sex, that it's hot or fast. And there's nothing wrong with hot and fast sex, but if that's our regular diet, then we're going to really miss out on these deeper, more connecting experiences where each of us can be truthfully seen and felt, right? Which we talk about so much as the foundation of connection, that we need to be understood. Well, we can't do that when we're rushing right along to some goal and then disappointed if things go wrong.
And I imagine that this isn't most natural, especially, you know, if we get into these sexual patterns and this is kind of what happens. So it may even feel a little bit different. I don't know, maybe awkward at first, a little bit more vulnerable. Am I doing this right? But even that thought of, am I doing this right? It's like, wait a second, that it's not a goal. It's this experience. That's right. This connection.
I love that. Yeah. It's a different way of thinking about how we interact with one another. It's a much more gentle and tender way to interact with one another. We call it making love sometimes, but truthfully, sometimes it's anything but loving. It's kind of, you know, comes into this pattern that we're not even seeing each other. And being mindful about it allows the very thing that you just described, Dave, to occur, right? Where we can slow it down, not be asking ourselves, is this right? But instead saying, what am I feeling at this moment? How can I truthfully feel and understand my partner? Right. And that means we have to be aware. I love a number of Buddhist, you know, guides have said this very thing. Thich Nhat Hanh is the one that comes to mind. But he says the very best gift we can give our spouse is to be present, is to be present with them at this moment. Right. And that means letting go of what it is I have to do an hour from now or 3 days from now, and just staying right here, being aware of how I feel and how I sense their presence in this moment.
That's great. Love it.
We'll be right back after this brief message.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And we're back. Let's dive right in.
I'm assuming this takes a fair amount of patience and practice, since it really isn't natural, as we have established. Have you worked with a couple that might come to mind, Shalom, that did have some really fascinating experience in embracing sexual mindfulness?
Yeah, I've worked with lots of couples, and I would say that in general, what people comment is that it absolutely is a little awkward at first to slow it down to the pace that we're talking about. We start noticing things that we're a little bit uncomfortable with. We might notice some hurts that have been kind of tamped down for a while. And now we're like, we've given space and some safe environment for those thoughts to come up and to surface. And so it's important that we talk about it. Couples pretty regularly say, I thought when you described this that it was going to be great for our relationship, and it has been. But that's not to say it hasn't been awkward, and it hasn't taken an awful lot of vulnerability. And then I've had couples who've been married 6 months to couples who have been married 45 years say, we thought we had a pretty good relationship, and this just took it up a level. We did not know that there was so much more to discover about each other in this area.
Mm. It's interesting you would talk about hurts, because as you were just explaining this whole thing about sexual mindfulness, I started just to feel like a little lump in my throat. It was just kind of some of that tenderness. I can appreciate how things could come up in a way of kind of a clearinghouse, if you will. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. In fact, I've often, when I'm teaching this in a class, kind of cautioned my couples that if something comes up, and it likely will, this is a pretty regular pattern that we see emerge. Don't ignore it, right? Don't say, well, we're feeling arousal right now, we'll take care of that later. Pause and honor what's happening in your body, in your relationship, and kind of talk about that. I love the words you just used, Liz, like a clearinghouse, because then our relationship and how we interact, even our bodies, will function better when we have kind of cleared out any of the struggle that we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like, and this is a term, and you probably heard this, Shalom, but I first heard it when I was a student at Utah Valley State College, is when it was called. Davy Chandler is a professor there, and he told us about intimacy, and he says, intimacy is into me, you see. And I remember just hearing that for the first time. I thought, that's phenomenal. That's kind of what you're talking about, is truly into me, you see. It's that real, genuine connection, not just an experience or a pleasurable event. Is that what you're saying? This is almost like this journey. How else would you describe it?
First of all, I've never heard that, but I love that. Into me, you see. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about, is that we're revealing parts of ourselves that maybe we are just discovering, right? As we slow down and get to know who I am as a spouse, as a sexual partner, as a mother, as a person who's been married 15 or 20 or however many years, right? I didn't know things about myself. And life is a journey. And so if I can then reveal that to my partner, which can be a little scary, right? Intimacy can be scary. Sometimes when we think about intimacy, we just want to think of the warm, fuzzy feelings of intimacy. But sometimes intimacy is hard and it's scary and it's a little risky. I'm going to show you the parts of me that are ugly, that I don't like, that maybe I'm ashamed of. And if it's received with love, then that's what creates this deeper connection, this feeling that not only can I undress emotionally, I can undress physically. And then that's just the natural outgrowth of love, right? That's the seedbed of love. When I can reveal my emotions to my partner and they're received with love, then revealing my body and sharing my body is just this beautiful outgrowth of it.
I love that. Your description of that. It is. It's a beautiful thing. Now, okay, Shalom, I know some listeners right now, they're hearing this and they're like, man, like I might like never even crossed my mind. Now, how am I going to share this with my partner, my spouse, my husband? You know, how am I going to bring this up? Do you have tips of things instead of saying, honey, we need to slow down and be mindful? You know, that may not come across very well. Do you have some suggestions about how to even approach this conversation other than, no, seriously, honey, you just need to listen to this episode. Do you have some tips for kind of, you know what I'm saying, engaging in this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds super simple, just like you said. And in fact, we will feel this tendency to say, this sounds ridiculous that just slowing down can make such a big change in my life, but it truthfully can. Now, the practicality of how do I do that? That's what's a little tricky. That's why in my intervention, in my classes, we first start off with just encouraging people to start meditating just for a minute or two a day. And we hope to work up to 10 minutes a day. But if that seems too, you know, overwhelming or too much time, meditate for a minute. We all have a minute, even if you're just sitting at the stoplight. Can you kind of focus on what does it feel like to just breathe? What can I let go as I exhale? And how can I expand as I inhale? Something that simple is going to start helping you see how you're living your life, the quality of how you're living your life, just a little differently. And the more you do that, the stronger those muscles will become. And then we'll be able to transfer that to a sexual relationship. Once I can kind of see, this is how I feel when I'm grounded in my body, when I pay attention to my breath, then I can take that into a sexual experience and start to try and replicate that, right? How can I slow it down? Notice what I'm thinking, notice how I'm feeling, and then be able to speak up and describe, this is what I think is really helping me connect with you. These are some things that I think distract from that process.
And I love those tips. That's exactly, yeah, what I was looking for there, because I feel like...
Let me give one other. Okay, yeah. Let me give one other tip,
yeah,
Dave.
Please.
I think something as simple as staring into each other's eyes. Now, this is good. People will giggle, and they do in my class, right? We kind of giggle and feel a little uncomfortable as we look deeply into our partner's eyes. But it helps us. It's another way for us to slow down and notice how our mind has become maybe muddled or really fast paced, so that we're kind of gliding over some of these details in our relationship. try it for just 2 minutes with your spouse and see what comes up for you. And then quietly just talk about that with one another. This is, I was awkward. I was nervous, whatever it is that comes up. And repeat that a few times and see if it doesn't start exposing some deeper emotion and feeling.
Yeah. So you're saying that we're not going to be these sexual mindfulness masters in just a few minutes, that it takes, even outside of the sexual experience, slow things down, try a minute at a time. It's a different way of living almost that people are not aware of until they actually start to experience it. Almost this transcendent, almost a spiritual experience for some might describe that these feelings that they have during this that they're not used to or haven't felt before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also opens up some areas of our relationship that we haven't seen before, which allows, like we just described, it allows for greater intimacy. I'll tell you the story of when my husband and I first tried the mindful embrace. And he's a lot taller than I am. He's like a full foot taller than I am. And I noticed during this 5 minutes of an embrace that he was kind of leaning on me and I kind of pushed back a little bit so I could gain my footing. And I noticed this dynamic in how we were just physically interacting with each other. And so when we were done and we did the heads together, I mentioned this. And it was so interesting because, and that was probably 10 years ago. And to this day, we are still kind of digesting some of those things that we were learning at that moment, right? About the dynamics in our relationship, that we had some things to address and work on. And I think back on that and I'm so grateful that something as simple as noticing how you physically interact with each other during a mindful embrace can really reveal to you a number of things that might be going on in your larger relationship.
Wow.
That's so honest of you to share.
That is.
Thank you for that. Here's what I love about the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast, Shalom and Dave, is that we can take our marriages wherever they are right now, our relationships, and we add to them, right? Forevermore. I think we'll be building and growing and learning how to have a deeper connection. So we both really appreciate you, Shalom, bringing this to today's show. People, our listeners are going to want to know so much more about you. Where can they turn to learn more about you and sexual mindfulness, please?
Yeah, you can just come to my website, which is just Shalom Levitt, if you know how to spell both those names, shalomlevitt.com. And we also have an Instagram, which is called The Sexual Mindfulness Project, and also a podcast. So any of those sources would direct you to the podcast and the website.
Yeah. Shalom, briefly tell us more about the Sexual Mindfulness Project, exciting project that you have going on. I mentioned part of that because you're working with us here at the Utah Marriage Commission on this. We're going to have some resources available here shortly. Give us the little short version of what Sexual Mindfulness Project is.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this partnership. We are going to just teach people in short segments how to slow down, give them some activities to start implementing in their personal life and then as a couple so that they can start transferring this idea of slowing down and being more mindful into their sexual life. And we'll just walk people through it in really simple steps and give them some homework to try, you know, in the privacy of their own home, things to discuss and then some activities to engage in. And it's a really comfortable, meaningful experience to go through this class. We know from research that couples who have gone through this class feel greater connection, feel more sexual satisfaction, more marital satisfaction. And it's just an all-round boost to the intimacy and connection you feel in your relationship.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Wow, I love it. And where do I sign up for that?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, on the Utah Marriage Commission website shortly.
Yeah, it's strongermarriage.org, but Shalom has great resources at shalomlevitt.com, as she mentioned. And her podcast, she's doing amazing things, listeners. And so you better listen up and follow Shalom, because she's on this amazing mission and this journey to help couples in so many aspects of their lives. We like to ask all of our guests, Shalom, this question, a couple questions. And the first one is, what do you feel like is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
I asked this of a world-renowned marriage scholarship, Dave Eggebine. He was on my PhD committee many years ago, and I loved his answer. And it'll be my answer. And that's be generous. Be generous with each other. And, you know, the best gift you can give is your presence. And if you can be generous with the attention, the awareness that you bring to the relationship, we will avoid so many problems, and we will create a connection that we haven't seen in our relationships.
Yeah. And I love that. Generosity, this kindness, the attention, awareness. It's been such a great discussion, Shalom, with you. What is if you were to give kind of one message, your takeaway of the day is what we call it here at the Stronger Marriage Connection. What's your takeaway of the day? A message that you hope listeners will remember.
Slow down and be gentle and curious about what you're experiencing. And this little seemingly simple practice is really powerful. It enables you to see what you have overlooked and make a big change in your relationship.
Yeah, man, fascinating. Thank you, Shalom. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day with our discussion with Shalom?
You know, what struck me, Dave and Shalom, was when we mentioned that with sex, there's an increase in anxiety. And we are so anxiety perverse, aren't we? I mean, as soon as we're anxious, we feel like something's terribly wrong. Instead of just making it a natural part of everyday life, there is anxiety, there is stress. And so I guess I liked this, the normalizing of that, that it is natural to have that anxiety increase a little bit. Because we are that much more vulnerable. I don't think we're more vulnerable than in that moment of sexual intimacy.
You know, it just occurred to me as we discussed that, Shalom, as you talked about it, and then I thought, wait a minute, we're just exposed to, at least most of us, this Hollywood, this movie, this action, whether it's books, magazines, it's this media saturated about what sex should be. And couples have this is all that they know or see. If their parents don't talk to them about any of this, then they don't know another way. And so you are pointing a path to a different way, a better way, a slow down way of sexual connection. And I just appreciate it. You mentioned words like understand, notice, awareness, you know, breathing, slowing down. And I really feel like this can help so many couples, not only in their sexual connection, but in their lives, in their personal lives of slowing down, and in their relationship in other areas of the relationship. So thank you for sharing and teaching such a powerful message, Shalom.
Thanks, Dave and Liz.
An honor.
Well, that's all for now, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection.
And remember, it's the small changes that create a stronger marriage connection. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore, or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.